Well, hello, my friends. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show. We're bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys had a terrific weekend. Hope you guys stayed strong, healthy, and safe as always. And be sure to check out the latest updates on thebrowershow.com with the podcast. Get the updates, sign up for the weekly newsletter, and be sure to check out the specials we got on the Health Masters and Team Health Masters website right now. Cinnamon extract, y'all voted. It won product of the week, one of the best formulas we have at maintaining healthy glucose metabolism and also to maintaining overall healthy insulin levels in the body. And you stack the cinnamon with the berberine, you got yourself a stack right there. You're trying to burn body fat and get your blood sugar really, really level. That's the formula right there. So be sure to check that out at Team Health Masters and Health Masters. And if you guys need anything, you know where to get a hold of us. And there is a ton of articles that I've been going over the weekend. I know Dad's been doing a lot of research, and so have I. One of the big things that I saw, and I'm going to cover it, I'm glad I got to give an applause to Texas now. They have become the seventh state to ban lab-grown meat. So kudos to them. I mean, they're a cattle state, so I'm surprised they haven't done this earlier. Florida did this first. Just want to let everybody know that. And, yeah, it's coming back. A lot of people are pushing back on it now. A lot of politicians are pushing back on it. And this is funny because this is right in the midst of Bill Gates and other individuals that are pushing multi-billion dollar projects in the United States from these facilities to manufacture lab-grown meat. So we're going to start seeing this, I don't know, this back and forth over the next couple of years, as we see in the pharmaceutical industry, the vaccine manufacturers, and everything alike. When you get these industries that really want to start pushing a product that's unhealthy, and you start getting blowback in the, you know, as far as in the general population.
Well, yes, exactly right. And so people don't understand that, you know, when you certain things cause certain problems. Right now, 82% of disabilities for women under the age of 30 are from the Gardasil shot. I'll read you this thing on this.
What was that again?
Let me read it to you. The Gardasil vaccine accounts for 60% of life-threatening adverse events from vaccines that are reported. 60%.
60%. Mm-hmm.
Adverse reactions to Gardasil are also responsible for 82% of all reported permanent disabilities and females under the age of 30.
Golly.
Now, this thing has put people in bed for the rest of their lives. This thing has sterilized millions and millions of women, in my opinion.
What's the one that a lot of females got? Was it Guillain-Barre syndrome? There's another one, real bad.
But this Gardasil shot's bad news. And I have talked to so many women who've had daughters who were administered this shot who have been plagued with fatigue, can't get out of bed, don't want to work anymore. 82% of all reported permanent disabilities and on females under the age of 30 are from the Gardasil shot.
That's horrific, dude.
Well, you know, I've talked about it for years, and I've warned people not to do it.
I can't do it, but it's been around for a long time.
And they're all supposed to stop cervical cancer, but it doesn't do that, by the way.
No.
It doesn't even do that. It doesn't reduce the risks or anything.
No, it's supposed to prevent, I think, the transmission of HPV vaccine, or HPV virus, human papillomavirus virus. The problem with HPV is a lot of people don't understand. There's like 50, 60 different strands of HPV. Anything mm-hmm. that's revolving, any type of wart, planner's wart, hand wart, anything sexually transmitted.
Same thing with herpes.
Yeah, it's like they came up with this vaccine that was supposed to stop it, but it didn't stop anything. It caused an enormous amount of problems, kind of like another shot that came out recently. It was the RNA COVID-19 shot. It was supposed to stop transmission and protect people, except it didn't stop transmission or protect anything.
And this is why we did Angel Wars, you know, almost 3 years ago now, and we wanted to talk about what was going on as far as in the pre-endemic race, what happened on this planet, and why we're a giant petri dish.
Yeah.
That's basically the reason that, you know, this is going on. They want to experiment on us because they want to change us and make us not in God's image anymore. And so it's very important that we understand this, that they're going to do everything they possibly can. Right now, the United States birth rate is the lowest of all time.
I saw that the other day.
It dropped again.
It's dropped.
That's why they're bringing all the – one of the reasons bringing all the import, all the people in from other countries, because they know that we're not – well, see, here's the thing. If you got a bunch of white people that are awake or a bunch of black people that are awake that are patriots here in the United States or even Hispanics that are patriots, you know, let's make sure they don't reproduce.
Exactly right.
Let's make sure they don't stop. Let's make sure they don't know how to raise little Americans.
Exactly right.
And then what we're going to do is in order to stop that, we'll stop them from reproducing, and then we'll bring in all these people from third world countries which were raised under communism and socialism,
yep,
and under Cloward and Piven, and destroy the very fabric of our society. That's what they've done. Now, they've already done it. There's not a whole lot we can do to fix it at this point. The only thing we can do is have pockets of resistance in which our individual families stand firm on God's word. You know, yesterday I was in church again. I prayed for you guys again yesterday. I obviously love going to church. And I realize that the vast majority of people in the United States now have been compromised through their own churches. And we did a whole show on that last week. I took 20 minutes and I talked about how the CIA came into these churches and how the churches don't tell the truth. And it was interesting, too, because I was talking to a friend of mine. And I said, you know, you realize that, you know, 50 years ago, 40 years ago, you know, we didn't have all these people that claimed to be bisexuals. We didn't have that. They didn't exist. You know, when we were in high school, there were a few people, we all kind of knew they were gay, but we didn't really think much about it. But they really didn't say much about it. They weren't promoting it. But now with everybody promoting it, the church is not talking against it any longer. What's happened is we have a massive increase of people who claim to be bisexual. And you think, well, what's going to happen with that? What's going to go to Sodom and Gomorrah? It's going to go exactly that way. We're going to have more and more and more people basically, you know, become that way. And the birth rates are going to go lower and lower and lower. Mind you, this was also part of the reduction of the birth rate. I'm letting you guys know that. When girls don't like guys anymore and guys don't like girls anymore, and they have their adverse to each other and they want to fight with each other, it kind of makes it hard to reproduce. Just thought I'd say that. And, you know, and so families aren't like they were anymore.
And then throwing the Gardasil.
Now you throw in the Gardasil. Now you throw in the HPV.
Yeah.
And now you throw in the mRNA shot. And all the rest of those different things that reduce the population.
Compounding factors.
And then, now, let's do this. Let's make the women unbelievably mean. Let's make the men unbelievably, wimpy. And so the women aren't attracted to the men. The women are attracted to the girls. And nobody likes each other anymore. Everybody wants to fight each other. And the guys want to be princesses and wear little princess bracelets. And the women want to be Butch Dyke lesbians. Now you got the perfect recipe for the destruction of a civilization, what's known as the United States of America. Because nobody wants to meet anybody or talk to anybody or date anybody because everybody's, a transgender. Or everybody's, dual sex. Or everybody's, wanting this or wanting that. And you think, well, this is crazy.
And everybody's sick.
And everybody's sick on top of that.
That's another factor that I think that really is getting addressed more now, though, with RFK Jr. So I've seen this a lot now in social media. There's a lot of topics that are coming up now about health and food and all types of diseases that are finally starting to get exposed, where people are going, oh, this isn't normal. I don't need to be on a dozen medications, more than likely. Maybe I need to take some natural supplements and get my health in line. Maybe these things are easy to fix. Maybe I don't have to live the rest of my life unbelievably sick, tired, exhausted. Just question mark. And now it's starting to come out. There's an article that came out that's getting basically pushed back again. It came out a couple years ago, and it's getting more coverage. It says magnesium could relieve fibromyalgia and migraines. I get a question about fibromyalgia all the time. It gets brought up on a regular basis. And it's talking about in this article here that essentially it's a very difficult condition to diagnose, and even harder to treat. And essentially, in a clinical trial, they tested magnesium as a potential treatment. They said magnesium levels are one of the first things I address when someone presents persistent pain. The clinical trial found for the first time that magnesium helps ease fibromyalgia symptoms, particularly stress and pain. Participants were randomly assigned to take just 100 milligrams, just 100 milligrams of slow-releasing magnesium or placebo once daily for a month. And essentially, at the end of the month, the results were significant. Overall stress levels trended downward in the magnesium group. However, on closer examination, they noticed that also mild and moderate stress and pain was also reduced, and pain severity was reduced in the magnesium group. This is why I tell people all the time to jump on the magnesium if you're having some issues, because in many cases, it will fix a lot of problems that are usually minor. If they're not a major problem, magnesium is like, it fixes a lot, dude.
Well, the thing about magnesium, especially magnesium threonate, and you may combine it with a glycinate,
yeah,
it really feeds the body. And here's the biggest problem that you find that you don't know what to do with, and it happens. And it happened to me last week when I was working with a fellow and his wife. She was having these basically seizures, Austin. She'd get into a shower and hot water would touch her body, and she would collapse with a seizure.
Oh, gosh.
Now, that's a complicated case.
That's complicated, yeah.
Okay. And so I told him, I said, well, I'm not even sure if this is a nutritional thing. But see, one of the side effects of the mRNA vaccine was burning sensations in the skin. Okay, so now I ask him, did she take the shot? He said, no, she did not. I'm like, okay, well, that ends that. But could she have been exposed to shedding?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's all kinds of weird things here. And I'm not making that claim. I'm not making that assumption. I'm just asking that question. But the crazy part about it is that, you know, I told him, I said, well, we could try a broad range approach as far as with supplementation, because she may have seriously vitamin D deficiencies.
Yeah.
She could have iodine deficiencies. You don't know what her deficiencies are, magnesium deficiencies. Yeah. So let's try a few of these products. And I said, within a week, if she doesn't feel better, these probably aren't going to work. Because quite frankly, if a person has a severe deficiency, they're not going to see a result, you know, for at least 4 or 5 days to a week,
right. Period.
But after 2 or 3 weeks, if a person's on a supplement program and it's not working for them, chances are it's not going to work. I'm just going to say that. It's like this. The other day, I didn't have enough salt in my diet. We use the Redmond salt. Great product.
Oh, yeah.
We sell it at the office. 2 mornings ago, I woke up with a cramp in my calf. I couldn't believe it because I had intentionally just didn't. I don't really salt my food. So, boy, yesterday I put the salt to it.
Oh, boy.
And no cramps.
None.
You know, so salt is important. When we were kids and we used to work out in the sun, we used to take salt tablets.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're losing so many electrolytes because you're constantly sweating. And she was drinking almost 2 gallons of water a day, this guy's wife was.
Just straight water?
Or straight water. And I told her, I said, that's probably flushing all the electrolytes out of her system. She's got to cut back on the water consumption. She weighs like 150 pounds, so she needs not to drink any more than 75 ounces of water. And she was drinking tap water with chlorine and fluoride.
Cut that out.
And you stop and you think, well, did they really not know? And the answer is they really don't know. You know, I was speaking with a little kid. I worked with him this weekend. He's like 11 years old. Great kid. I'm seriously overweight, about 40 pounds overweight. And I feel bad for him. And I try to teach him a few things about working out, et cetera. But then I find out that when he goes out and eats with his dad, he gets like, you know, what do you call it? It's that lasagna, that ravioli, that's pasta that's covered in, you know, in butter sauce.
Oh, like Alfredo?
Yeah, that's what it lives on. You know, and
Alfredo tastes good, but if you look at it, a normal Alfredo plate from like Olive Garden, I think it's like 1600 or 1700 calories.
Mm-hmm. And I told him, I said, dude, you can't eat that. And he said, well, I want to learn how to work out. I said, well, I can show you how to work out. I said, the problem is, I said, this isn't about working out. That's not why you look like this.
Yeah.
You look caloric like it's your caloric intake's too high. You've got to cut the food back. I said, 80% of what you're going to look like is going to be about your diet. You think, well, would you think he'll listen? He's 11 years old. Probably not. This is why it's the parent's responsibility at that point to not let that food go down his throat. The parent's got to say, no, how about we just eat some eggs?
Yeah.
But apparently the dad doesn't like, you know, cooking at all, so he wants to just eat out constantly, and it's easier to take him out and give him Alfredo.
The problem is eating out. I've told you guys this before. A, if you're trying to save money, that's the fastest way to lose money is
eating out.
That's
how you go broke eating out.
Yeah. Secondly, it's very difficult to maintain caloric intake when you're eating out all the time, unless you're looking at the calories on each meal you're ordering. But most restaurants, a lot of the food you get, you'll be shocked when you look at the calories on it. So I know there was one, Carrabba's. They had an Alfredo a while back ago, and I got it. And I got it as a side plate, because I want some pasta. I don't eat it very often, but I wanted it. And it was a side plate of Alfredo, and it was 700 calories for a little side plate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But I got it with a bunch of grilled chicken. So, I mean, it wasn't an enormous amount of calories.
But if that's all you're eating all the time.
That's all I'm eating.
I remember when I was young, I used to come home every day because my mom worked and my dad and her were divorced, my mom and dad. And I would eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
And boy, did it pack the weight on me. Don't pack weight on me.
I mean, quick. Yeah, because when I discovered the ability to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I thought, I'll just keep eating these. This is great.
Oh, they're great with milk?
Oh, yeah.
Whole milk?
Oh, yeah. I have like 3 of them every day when I came home from school.
Now,
you know, that 3 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches with like 3 or 4 glasses of whole milk, that's some calories.
The only time, and I'll have to say this, the benefit of PB&Js is if you're on a trip where you're traveling and driving a lot.
Especially in
you're
Europe.
You're wanting to save money and you want to keep your calories up. And, yeah.
I did that to you guys all the time.
I had a buddy of mine. I went with him and dad over to Europe.
They're like 14 years old.
Yeah, we're like 14.
Eating machines.
We're in that growth phase. We're starting to work out. We're eating a ton. And so, I mean, it's every hour. I want food. I'm hungry. He's like, okay. He goes, I will feed you enough PB&Js. You will not be hungry. You will not be hungry this whole trip. So we go to the store and you bought loaves of bread.
Well, and reality is, if you stop and eat every 2 hours, all you do is eat.
Oh,
you never see
it. Yeah, on road trips, I don't ever stop for food.
No.
So the whole time, you know, we're making sandwiches and eating and stuff. Well, after about 4th or 5th day, I'm like, you know what? I'm burned out on PB&Js. My buddy was with me. He's like, I am too. So we were like, let's get a Subway. I want a Subway. I want a foot-long sub. So we go there. We're in Europe. Actually, I think we're in the UK on that one.
Are we either in Ireland or Scotland?
Yeah.
I think it was Ireland.
we go. We do conversion rate. We get a foot long. Remember, we're 14 years old. This is back in the 90s.
And I told them they had to pay for their own food if they were going to eat PBJ.
$15 for a foot long sub. We got one, and I was like, I'm not doing this again. This, we're going to burn through all of our money eating if we do this all day. And it went back to PB&J's. It kept our weight up. It was good.
Well, no, but see that, but that's if you're trying to give your weight. But remember, yeah, though, I want to read you a couple of quotes from Scott Fitzgerald. I found them this weekend. I thought they were pretty good. And this is like with your weight, or this is with your health, or this is with anything. For what it's worth, it's never too late to be whoever you want to be. Yeah. I hope you have a life you're proud of. And if you fight, and if you're not, I hope you have the strength to start over. I'm sorry, I misquoted that. And if, I'm going to read this over again. I didn't have my glasses on. Putting my glasses on. For what it's worth, it's never too late to be whoever you want to be. I hope you live a life you're proud of. And if you find that you're not proud of your life, I hope you have the strength to start over. And this is the girls he was writing about back then. Scott Fitzgerald wrote The Great Gatsby. She was beautiful, but not like those girls in the magazines. She was beautiful for the way she thought. She was beautiful for the sparkle in her eyes when she talked about something she loved. She was beautiful for her ability to make other people smile, even if she was sad. No, she wasn't beautiful for something as temporary as her looks. She was beautiful deep down to her soul. She is beautiful. And I see things like this, and I see these quotes, and I thought to myself, wow, he's so true. He's so right. Here's another one. I hope you make the best of it, and I hope you see things that startle you. I hope you feel things that you've never felt before. I hope you meet people with a different point of view. I hope you live a life you're proud of. I'm going to repeat that. I hope you live a life you're proud of. If you find that you're not, I hope you have the strength to start all over again. And, you know, it's just, and he was so, he just basically is amazing. I posted these quotes so you guys can read them. And it's like if suddenly she realized that what she was regretting was not the lost past, but the lost future. Not what had been, but would never be because of choices that were made. So I'm going to let you read the rest of these quotes. This is fantastic stuff. I love this kind of stuff. And you think, well, why do you read stuff like this? Why do you constantly talk about health and constantly talk about nutrition and constantly talk about positive attitudes? Because I want you to have the best life you can ever have.
There you go.
I want you to feel great and look great and be great in every area of your life. I want you to look back on your life and say, my gosh, am I glad we listened to the Ted and Austin Brower show. Man, did it change everything about that life. I remember I read you that letter last week, the lady who heard me at a seminar back in 1991 and said, our entire life has been changed for the past almost 30 years now because we listened to you and we did what you told us to do. And, you know, and it's true. It's actually over 30 years now. And now she's raised her kids and she's got grandkids and they're all following the same healthy eating diet programs. The biggest problem that we have is that people aren't taught the right ways to eat. And for some reason, I don't understand this, but people think that the government's going to protect them.
That's a funny concept.
Well, no, I mean, you think about it for a second. The government this weekend raided a Delta Air flight out in San Francisco because the guy was supposedly running some kind of child porn thing, right?
Okay.
I mean, they went into the doggone cockpit when he landed. A whole storm of them went in front of all the passengers, scared everybody to death, air marshals and FBI and everybody else.
I missed all this.
No, dragged him out of the airplane in handcuffs in front of all the passengers.
Yeah.
What about Hunter Biden's laptop? Let's stop. Okay, I'm not saying the guy shouldn't be arrested for what he's done if he's done something wrong. What about the Jeffrey Epstein client list and all these other guys messing with all these young girls? Why don't we have that same type of resolve as we had on the San Francisco flight? Now, Ghislaine Maxwell's apparently cut a deal. Surprise.
I didn't call that last week.
Yeah, none of us called that over the last 2 weeks. I mean, that's crazy, but you think, well, this is going to go away now. Last night, I watched the movie again, Wag the Dog, with Dustin Hoffman and Robert De Niro. Now, Robert De Niro, he's done some things and he said some things I don't like. He's part of the mouthpiece of the mechanism of the Hollywood, you know, liberal people out there. But he did come out a few years ago and really started slamming vaccines. Mm-hmm. And boy, they shut him down quick.
Real quick.
And they let him know if you want to continue doing what you do, unless you want to pull a Joan Rivers.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're going to talk about that in just a second. You're going to basically shut up now. And he did.
What happened to Jim Carrey, too?
Happened to Jim Carrey. Done.
Stop as soon as he went on
Jerry McCarthy. Yep. And the crazy part about it is when you realize who you can't criticize, you realize who runs the companies and who runs the world. And that's the Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan, period. That's it. And what's funny about all of this stuff, you know, Joan Rivers called Michelle Obama out for being a tranny. Well, a friend of mine, Mike Florentino, said to me the other day, well, you know, Michelle Obama has admitted that she is basically a man. And sure enough, she did.
Really?
Yeah, but no, she's on a podcast.
Yeah.
Well, she goes, as a black man, they ask you a question. But she wasn't referring to herself as being a black man. She's talking to a black man.
Oh, so they took it out of context.
They took it out of context. They stopped and cut the end of the quote off. Now, mind you, she probably needs to be careful as a black man, according to Joan Rivers, not to say stuff like that that could be snippeted at the end.
Well, that's the problem.
But Austin and I were just talking. With all of the stuff that people do with digital editing now and AI and all the rest, you know, where are we going to be at 5 years from now? It's already difficult enough to try to determine what the truth is and what's not the truth. The only reason we can vet stuff on this show is because we try to find multiple sources for the same story. Like up in Michigan this weekend, there was a big thing came out, says the sheriff refuses to, the guy stabbed 11 people at Walmart, okay? And the sheriff refused to say he was a white guy, refused to say who he was, refused to give a description of him. It was ridiculous. And, you know, and also the people in the parking lot who had seen him do it, they cornered him.
I saw that video. Okay, that's the same video? Yeah.
They straight said, yeah, leave him, Bucky.
Yeah.
But here's the problem. Why couldn't the sheriff have just said, we had a white man, 42 years of age, blah, 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 who was arrested for stabbing 11 people in a thing? Is he trying to prevent race contamination or race relations going bad and black people? I don't know. Or if it's a black person, why can't we know that? If it's a Hispanic person, why can't we know that? You know, back in the 60s, I remember this like it was yesterday, they would have a big picture of a black guy if he had done something bad on the news.
Yeah.
They have a big picture of a white guy if he had basically done something wrong and it was on the news. They have a big picture of a and of course, if there was a German, it was always just, you know, massive. Then they had put a Nazi sign.
Oh, yeah, they put a swastika.
Yeah,
a
swastika on the side. All of this stuff, right? And so all of this crazy stuff was basically out there for us to look at, and we always knew what we were looking for.
You know who still does that? Grady Judd. Some of the videos.
He doesn't run swastikas.
No, not swastikas. I'm not. He puts the. that's a snippy. You got to watch out.
That's why I checked it.
No. He goes in and puts the photos up of the perpetrators that are all the stupid stuff. Puts a photo, big old photo. This guy right here at such and such time did this. He's funny about that.
He's great. But the thing about it is, that's the political correctness run amok.
It is.
Okay, that makes you say, well, is this person I'm going out with, is this a transgender? I can't tell. Now, here's the problem you got now. Here's your caveat if you're single. Girl sends you a picture of herself. Well, she's 5'11" tall. You think, okay. And she basically is extremely liberal. Okay. Well, you got to ask yourself a question. Was she born a biological woman? You got to ask it.
The fact you even have to ask that question.
No, this is the sick part.
Bizarre.
No, it's bizarre. And so you say, well, you can't ask her that. Well, okay, you may go out with a dude that is pretending to be a woman. You got to. So, no, it's funny, isn't it, Austin, how you're not supposed to say certain things. And we've been trained like this now.
That is.
We can't say this person's black. We can't say this person's white. We can't say this person's Hispanic. You've got to be quiet. You're being racist. No, I'm not. I just want to know if this is a man or a woman. I have a right to know that if I'm going to take somebody out on a date. Don't you think I do or not? I think I do. I don't go out with a dude.
I got 10 lessons for you.
10 lessons?
10 lessons that most people learn too late in life.
Let's do them.
Switching gears here before he goes.
Before I go off on a tangent.
Before your veins start coming out.
My veins are about to come out on that one.
There's a positive one. I'm switching gears here. It says time, the number one lessons about living to learn now is basically time is the most valuable resource. And a lot of it is. It says one of the wealthiest men in the world will probably trade all of his wealth to be 21 again as time continues to go by. It says health is wealth. That's a big one. When you're young,
that's true.
You take your health for granted as it's something that will be forever. Around middle age, however, you may notice that youthful effortless energy begins to wane. You know, I've seen this with individuals that are extremely wealthy, and you've seen it too.
Yeah, it's middle camera rich.
Yeah, you've seen it. You've seen it too. Mm-hmm. Where you got these people that are unbelievably wealthy and they get sick. Money isn't an option at that point.
Well, but I've seen it.
But then you see the opposite.
No, I've seen them so greedy with the money.
That's what I was saying. There's
a natural protocol to follow.
Won't pay for it.
But they won't pay for it. I mean, I told you there was a guy, he had a severe disease in South Africa, and my friend from South Africa had basically told me, can you help this guy? I said, well, I can try. So I put a protocol together for him. This guy's a billionaire. He's worth a thousand. Keep me on the center camera, Rich. He's worth a thousand millions, and he would not spend the money to try it.
I know.
And he died.
I remember,
you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes rich people get so tightwaddish.
So greedy about it.
Now, let me stop one second. This is a little thing that Austin and I have talked about before. These are glasses. Okay. They don't really do anything besides magnify stuff.
Yeah.
Okay? All money does is the same thing. It's a magnifying glass. It makes you more of what you already are. If you're inclined to be a giver, you start giving away more money, you become a philanthropist. If you're inclined to be a tightwad, become a tightwad. If you're inclined to drink, you get drunk. If you're inclined to do drugs, you do more drugs. It doesn't make you better or worse. It makes you more of what you already are. So a person who has money doesn't necessarily mean they're happy, and it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to try to take care of themselves.
That brings me to number three. Yeah. It says money can't buy meaning.
It can't.
People expend a lot of energy pursuing wealth beyond what they need for happy, stress-free financial life under the faulty assumption that more comfort can convenience and pleasure will make their life better. However, it says these qualities decline steeply in their marginal benefit and fail to produce the meaningful life that many people wish for in their advancing years. And this is what, you know, we've talked about before, is it's great to have cash. It's great to have some nice things, but you can't let those things have you. They have to be things. They have to be toys, and that's what they have to stay in that category of. You can't work your life to have stuff, because what happens is it never makes you happy long term.
Well, it doesn't. And here's one thing about stuff. It has to be maintained.
That's exactly right.
And here's the thing. It's like efficiency of scale.
Yeah.
Okay? If you're making one widget by hand, it could be anything, a pair of glasses, right? If you're making one pair of glasses by hand, you have a certain cost associated with it.
Right.
If you get a machine to make 1,000 pairs, you have associated costs with it. They become a lot less costly because labor goes way down. Now, if you want to make 1,000,000 pairs of glasses, chances are they won't go down much more than 1,000 were.
That's true.
Maybe have a few pennies here. That's what wealth is, and that's what buying stuff does.
Yeah.
You think, oh, I want a dopamine trigger. I'm going to go out, you know, and buy another car.
Yeah.
Well, then suddenly the payments do. That wasn't much fun. That's awful.
Well, it's like I've been talking to guys that have been car collectors, you know, and they'll have a dozen different vehicles, old school, stuff like that. And they're cool. It's great collections. But they tell you, vehicles have to be started up once a month. Everybody's got to sit on a battery tender all the time. You got to go in and make sure stuff's not leaking oil. It's continual maintenance and upkeep.
Not as much fun after 20 or 30
cars. It's not as much fun after you're sitting there going, golly, all the vehicles have insurance due every single month. And I've talked to people also, too, like friends that I've had that have tried to get these really big houses, and they scale them way back down after they've had them for a while. And they're like, yeah, you know, having a $2,000 a month electric bill isn't that fun when there's six AC systems. You start looking at these houses, and I'm like, you guys have fun with that.
I had a friend of mine, I'm not going to mention any names, back in the 90s. And he was very big in the seminar business.
Oh, yeah.
And he bought himself a $20 million home down there on Marlboro.
I remember that.
And his payments and his insurance and all the rest were $250,000 a month.
That's a real number, too, guys. That was a real number.
He was spending $3 million a year living here. Well, he lost everything, it all. And you think, why would you do that? Sometimes people think that stuff's going to bring them happiness.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Well, at that point, too, you're trying to make the stuff give you a status symbol. That's what it is. I mean, when you got a house that's got 18 bathrooms and 20 bedrooms and stuff like that, I mean, that's cool.
Yeah, two brass elevators.
Yeah.
5 acres on the ocean.
Cool. I mean, that's cool. But at the end of the day, it's like you said, all those elevators are going to be maintained. All those AC systems got compressors. All those buildings got roofs.
They had a guard shack out front. They were on 5 acres on the ocean. Had a guard shack out front, and every single day they had repair crews coming in.
Yeah.
And everybody in the repair crew had to give their driver's license. They made copies of it. They didn't want to know who everybody was that came through the house. Every single day. They had a house manager just to manage the maintenance.
Yes.
You figure it's a $20 million corporation. It's a house.
Oh, yeah.
So you got $20 million worth of infrastructure. I mean, two brass glass elevators on both corners of the house to overlook the ocean while you're going up into the elevator.
I think it was Mike Tyson. He had that one house. It was like, 55,000 square feet?
Evander Holyfield.
Oh, that's what it was, yeah. That got sold and somebody else bought it. I think 50 Cent
bought it. Yeah, different women living in different wings.
Yeah, it was like 45 bedrooms or something.
No, it was ridiculous.
And it's like the Biltmore Estate.
Yeah.
Cool place. Amazing place. I was reading about it the other day. The whole the come up of that whole building and everything about it. And the guy that built it, he ended up dying not that long.
A couple years after.
Yeah.
Yeah. And plus he had one wife, had a wife, I think one child.
Yeah.
And a Vanderbilt fortune.
Yeah.
And it was crazy. But see, you don't realize that, you know, the stuff doesn't make, what's our next
one? No, yeah. The success without contentment isn't success. Very accurate.
Oh, do you know how the Bible says that? It's better with one handful with peace and tranquility than two handfuls with strife and chasing after the wind.
No peace.
No. There's a certain point in time, and I see this with parents. Okay, they've got four kids, and they're go 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 go. Everybody's got four different sports with four different kids. We've got 16. And all of a sudden you go, wait a minute, you don't ever stop. The kid doesn't even stop. The kid's not even enjoying their life. They never stop. They can't play in the backyard with the rest of the kids because they're too busy. Go, 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 go. And you ask yourself a question. How much do you have to go to try to bring yourself? If you're so busy, you can't take 20 seconds out for a friend. What's the point? That same guy who had that $20 million home. I remember one time I said, you know, we were supposed to be pretty good friends. I said to him, I said, hey, we got to have lunch again. I haven't, you know, talked to you in a bit. Well, he pulls his daytimer out. Next January, 9 months from now, I have one afternoon after that. I have 1 hour left in the afternoon that I can talk to you for then. And I looked at him, I said, you know, I tell you what, don't bother. No, he literally had it planned out a year in advance. On
needlessly
his
busy.
You know, and so, you know, a lot of people, let me do one more thing. I didn't know we were going to go all this way today, but this
I didn't
you know,
I thought this, this, is cool, this is a cool article.
No, it is.
Cover it.
Great, I'm glad you covered this. But there's a guy by the name of John Henry Fabre. Okay, and John Henry Fabre was a French naturalist. He did not use magnesium brain food. Okay, but
I should have.
But I want to use this. This is a flower pot now. Okay, we're going to pretend like it's a flower pot. It's this big. It's a round flower pot. And he worked with an insect called the processionary caterpillar. And what he would do, he would take the caterpillars on the top of the flower pot, and he would surround the top of the flower pot all the way around, producing a never-ending circle of caterpillars. And now they're called processionary caterpillars because they follow each other in a little in a straight line. So these caterpillars were walking around the top of the pot, and he had put a bunch of pine needles, which was their food, inside of the pot. Now, they were inches away from the pine needles. They were inches away from having a meal. Well, he walked, he put them on the outside of the pot, and they started a never-ending march all the way around the top of the pot with food inches away. A couple days later, they all dropped dead. Starvation, lack of water, all dead. They died with food inches away, but they were busy, busy, busy for 2 days marching.
Funny.
And they never accomplished even feeding themselves. So they confused activity with accomplishment. You staying with me? This is some good teaching today. They confused activity with accomplishment. They were needlessly busy, but they never even accomplished the need to feed themselves. And I see that with people all the time. The backyard fence is sagging. The dogs are going to get out. And they never, ever take the time they need to be what they need to be.
Yeah.
I've got a friend of mine. He's got some serious financial problems right now. I'm not going to mention any names. And he's got a business, but he completely neglects a business. He's flying all over. He's supposed to have fun. You know, he does all this professional wrestling stuff. He does all this other kind of stuff. Doesn't make any money doing any of it. His daughter's got all these volleyball tournaments all over the place. And he's always gone, 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 gone. But he's broke. But he's unbelievably busy, exhausted all the time. He's confusing activity with accomplishment. If what you're doing is not cost effective for you and you're not making money at it and you're in the growth phase and you're still young, you need to cut it out. And guys, listen to me. This is really important. Women don't want to date a guy who's broke.
It's true.
I'm going to let you know that. They don't.
It's a security issue is what it is.
It is. And the women don't want to date guys that can't pay for the food. They don't want to do any of that stuff. They want to date a guy that's successful. And guys don't want to date a girl, you know, that has all kinds of weird issues. Nobody wants to do any of that. So if you're young, you need to be out there. If you're not married, you need to be hammering, 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 becoming successful. I know a kid. He's like 16 years old. I met him a few years ago, and he had his own little business started. Now he's got a little lawn business. Now he's got a big lawn business. He's 18.
Yeah.
And he's in college, and he's got a lawn business going, and he's not dating anybody. And he's going, I'm going to be successful.
Yeah.
I'm going to, you know, and what he's doing, he's
grinding out first.
He's grinding it out first. And then you can pick somebody who you want to date. But don't be wasting all your time going out on dates if you're broke.
No.
If you're a bottom feeder and you can't even pay for a bill and you can't even buy a glass of water for somebody, there's a probability that they're not going to want to date you. Am I right or wrong?
Glass of water. Well, no, that's why I encourage a lot of the kids that I run into when they're younger is I always tell them, you know, in your early 20s as a guy, your teens and your early 20s, that's your time to grind. That's your time to pay your dues. That's not the time to have fun.
Nope.
It's not the time to run around and party anymore. I mean, you're in college, you enjoy yourself or whatever you're doing, but don't sit there and get wrapped up in that. Your 20s are your time to grind. So by the time you're in your 30s, you've got stuff lined up. You can start growing more. You can start pushing more. And if you want to take the time off to take time with your kids, you want to enjoy something, you actually have that. But when you don't have any true responsibility, like wife, family, kids, put the time in, man. Grind it out so you don't have to pay the dues later.
I remember when I started Health Masters, it was 100-hour work weeks, 100 hours a week.
Yeah.
And I ground and ground and ground because I didn't have any kids. And I tell you what, when you learn to do that when you're younger, then you can enjoy the fruits of what you did when you're in your 20s and your 30s as you get older. I told Sharon, she was 27 and I was 28 when we got married. And we started, you know, we were working hard. And I told her, I said, I want to travel the world with you while we're young.
Yeah.
And she goes, what do you mean? I said, while we're young. Because when we're old, I don't want to be on some doggone cruise ship in a wheelchair with an oxygen bottle. Well, we had seen that. I said, I don't want to do that. So take and put the time in, you know, when you're young. And we sure enough, we went to like 80 or 90 different countries and islands together.
And that
great.
Brings the number 6 on here. It says, action is motivating. You don't have to wait to be motivated. Just do it. You can do things even if you still feel discouraged, confused, without a set plan. Now's the only time you ever have to get the things done that are important. And that's a true factor. How many times do you talk to people and they're going, yeah, I'm about 50 pounds overweight. I'm 100 pounds overweight. You know, January, I'm going to start eating clean. Well, how about you just start eating clean tonight? How about you just go do 25 push-ups tonight? How about you go do 25 sit-ups tonight? How about you go outside and walk tonight? Why do you got to wait till next month or next year?
I told the kid who came over this weekend, I told him, I said, look, here's the deal. Start doing push-ups every day.
Yeah.
100%. Start doing like he can't do sit-ups because he's too weak.
Okay.
But he can do leg raises.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if he can do push-ups off his knees if he's not strong enough.
And I told him, I said, just do deep knee bends.
Yeah.
And he had a hard time, kept falling down.
Yeah.
And I said, no, just grab a bar and hold on to something. Just learn how to do, you know, deep knee bend. And apparently they have no athletic, they have no PE for him at all. It's ridiculous. He didn't know what a push-up was. He didn't know what a deep knee bend was. Also, he didn't know any of this stuff.
If you're a young kid and you're trying to get in shape, and you're like, oh, I can't go to the gym or I don't have time for this, there's no excuse why you can't do 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, and 100 squats. You don't even need a weight.
Just deep knee bends.
100 push-ups, 100 squats, 100 sit-ups. Boom, boom, boom. I promise you, I don't care who you are, you will start getting in shape, even if you don't have access to a gym membership or you don't have a car. You don't have to have anything but your own body to do that. That's it.
Well, but the biggest problem is, it goes back to the parents.
Yeah.
You know, if they have a dad who's out of shape, or the dad doesn't want to work out, or the dad doesn't care, or the dad's not willing to help reinforce the good behavior with the child because he doesn't have any good behavior himself and he eats all the junk all the time, then it makes it difficult to teach the child how to do it.
That's true.
That's why the Bible says train up a child in the way they should go. When they are old, they'll not depart from that. There's two caveats on that. You let them go the way they want to go. In other words, they do whatever they want to do whenever they want to do it. Then basically they're going to do whatever they want to do the rest of their life, if it's wrong or right. Or if you train them up in the way they should go, the way you want them to go, you can look at it from that interpretation also, then they're going to have the ability to have discipline in their lives their whole lives. I mean, my kids were all in the gym doing squats when they're 12 and 13 and 14 years old. And if they couldn't do any weight, I wouldn't have them do that because of the bone structure, but I would still have them do deep knee.
Well, that's what I said. Yeah. There's it's almost impossible for a young adolescent, young teenage boy or girl to injure yourself doing bodyweight exercises.
No,
it's almost impossible.
That's
because
right.
Your body's designed to do that. Squats, push-ups, sit-ups. If you can't do 100 of each of those, you need to start training. You need to start doing something if you're a kid.
And that speaks also for a adult.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody who's an adult needs to be able to do deep knee bends.
Yeah. I mean, how are you supposed to get up off the floor if you fall down?
Well, you know, I remember, that's what they said. One of the key factors to determine how long somebody's going to live is if they can get off the floor by themselves without having to grab stuff and try to climb up. You know, I mean, you think, well, that sounds silly. Well, yeah, I mean, I've seen it. I've seen people in their 20s who could not get off the floor without crawling over to a chair and crawling up the chair because they weigh too much.
The only exception of that is on leg day after you puke on squats.
That's awful.
You can't get up.
I see people do
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah. You and I both are there trying to crawl back. I can't walk. My legs are shaking.
That's a terrible combo. We shouldn't have that one. What's the next one?
That's great. You got to go to failure. You act without permission.
No, not without, unless you had your doctor check your heart. That's only when you're young. Don't do it when you get older.
Failure's great on legs.
Yeah, not when you're 80 years old.
No, I'm not recommending that at all. I'm talking more to the young kids if you want to grow. Since you can act without permission, we awfully wait around for life to get better or act as if we can't make a change until circumstances align or someone tells us what to do. Upon reflecting on your life, you'll likely see how silly waiting for your ducks to fall in order was. And this is really accurate. Again, it goes right back to what I talked about a second ago. A lot of times people try to wait for everything to be perfect to get it done. Let me just get up in the morning, get up, drop down, do 25 push-ups right out the gate.
And you don't have to. The other day, just a perfect example of this. I'm driving down a road, and there's two police in an SUV, Auburn Hill Police, parked over there by the church. So I just walked over. I just drove over to them. And I asked them a question. I said, are you going to arrest me if I'm 30 miles an hour over the speed limit?
Oh, it's a good question. With all this super speeder nonsense in Florida now.
I asked them.
Yeah.
And they looked at me and started laughing. And I said, what if I'm on a phosphate road in the middle of nowhere and it's 2 o'clock in the morning and I'm coming home and the speed limit is 45 miles an hour and I'm doing 76? Are you going to impound my car and drag me into the jail? And they said, well, they just passed that law, so yes, we will. I said, whoa, you're kidding
me. Yeah. I've been hearing it too.
No, and he said it's probably going to be at the discretion of the officer, but right now we're really enforcing the super speeder law. I said, well, isn't the super speeder law supposed to be if you're over 100 miles an hour on the interstate or over 50 miles an hour over?
Yeah.
And I said, well, yeah, but there's a lot of ambiguity to it right now. And I said, so you're going to arrest me in the middle of the night, and I'm not, because I don't drink, you know, going home, you know, at 2 in the morning, which I don't do that either, by the way, because nothing good happens after midnight.
However, a lot of guys that work in the phosphate mines, you got a friend,
they
got night shifts.
That's right.
You're running down the road 80, 90 miles an hour. Nobody's out there.
Just trying to avoid 45, 50. Wild hogs. Yeah. That, I had a friend of mine had that one time. He's coming home by 80 miles an hour. A hog hit him.
And I'm not condoning speeding, but there's also a limit to this stuff where I'm sitting there going, well, wait a minute. You guys are more concerned about getting somebody that's doing 31 on the interstate over than you are about all the pedophiles and meth heads that we have running around in Florida.
You know what? I remember when I was a kid, I used to drive motorcycles all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd get so fed up with it. It's 10 o'clock at night. There's nobody on the road. Nobody coming. Nobody, both all directions. You pull up to a red light, and the bike's not heavy enough.
And it won't flip the light.
Now, you can sit there if you want.
It will not change.
It won't change.
I've done it too. You sit there.
You know? So now you got to make a choice. And I'm not advocating that you don't do something that's illegal, but you got to make a choice. Nobody's coming. Everything's clear. There's nobody on the road but you. So you have to ask yourself a question. Okay, am I going to make a right on red here and go down around the median 3 miles down and turn around, or am I just going to cut through the light? You got to ask yourself a question.
Yeah.
And so my response was, if I did that, I think the police, who's no one's here anyhow, should realize that I can't do anything about this because it won't trip with me. Because back in the day, those sensors didn't trip with motorcycles.
No, some still don't. And the big, I will tell you right now, if you own a motorcycle, you ride a motorcycle, sitting at a light or sitting stationary is one of the most dangerous places to be on a bike. I remember you had a lady that worked for you, and her son was at a red light at like 2 o'clock in the morning, sitting there, light wasn't changing, got rear-ended by a drunk driver. I mean, ran him over, totaled the bike, messed him up because you didn't see him, wasn't paying attention.
Oh, I do have a story for you. I was coming off the Polk Parkway, and I was riding my Harley.
Yeah.
I'm on a Harley. And no, I don't have a Harley anymore. It's too dangerous to have to ride bikes now. And I had my transponder in my pocket.
Yeah.
Okay? Because I don't leave it on the bike because I don't want anybody to steal it.
Right.
Okay? Well, it's a radio transponder. So I go through this charge.
Right.
Boom, boom. And all of a sudden, here comes the sheriff. Lights, sirens on. And I go, okay, what did I do? Pulls me over.
I remember this.
And I said, what did I do? He goes, you ran through the toll. It's 25 cents. And I looked at him and I said, I did not. He goes, yes, you did. You didn't pay the quarter. And I'm like, I don't have to. I pulled the transponder out. And he goes, oh, you have a transponder. I'm like, dude, really? Are you going to sit here and just really going to bust my chops on a? This is dangerous anyhow. We're stopped
on the side of the road now, getting pulled over.
But it's funny to me that sometimes these police officers have nothing better to do
than
just harass people.
Yeah.
Now sometimes they really do a good job. Okay. But guys, just leave people alone. So he lets me go. Oh, sorry, I pulled you. And I'm like, great. You know. But you know, I'm glad I didn't get arrested and tased.
Bikes impounded. You'd been at 25 cents.
A quarter. I'm like, my God.
Just take the quarter, bro.
I told him I'd give him a quarter if he wanted. I didn't care. I've already paid this with a transponder.
Yeah. Yeah.
I said, it's not my responsibility. The transponder didn't read. It's got a good battery in it. This is just ridiculous.
Yeah, this is a you problem, buddy.
This is a tollway authority problem.
It's not a me problem.
And we're making it a me and you problem over a quarter.
Button this up on your last two. It says, to love and be loved are life's greatest gifts. It talks about family and basically close friends and people you love. And also the last one, it says, death is a given, like all truths on the list. Everyone knows you're going to die someday. So don't fear it. Don't fret it. It's coming. Just
what are they saying, Gladiator? Remember that?
Death smiles at everyone.
No. He said, when death smiles at you, you might as well smile back. Because if it's time to go, it's time to go.
Time to go, man. You get any time
for and always remember, we're made in God's image, and God doesn't die, and we don't die. We just change addresses. My dad used to always say this way. You say, well, they checked out. Like they're checking out of a hotel and go to another hotel. And he was always funny about that. He always had a kick out of it. And, of course, Dad checked out way back when. And now my mom checked out way back when. And so now I sit here thinking to myself, well, you know, Sharon, my wife, checked out too. And so we're thinking to ourselves, well, we get to see them all again anyhow because they just go to different residents. Because I did a whole show on that the other day about how there's a thin veil that separates this. And quite frankly, people don't die. They just don't do that. They just they leave their earthly bodies, but it's like a suit of clothes. You just kind of drop the clothes off, but you go somewhere else. So always remember that. So don't have fear. That's why the Bible says, "Oh, death, where's thy victory? Where's thy there's the fear? We don't have any fear. Jesus overcame both death, hell, and the grave, so we don't have to worry about that anymore because Christ can do all things, and we can do all things through Christ. Always remember that.
This is a really wild article. It says the cognitive debt we accumulate every time we use AI.
That's
they did a research study on this. It says every prompt may be coming at the cost of cognitive efficiency and creativity. MIT researchers asked students to write essays with and without ChatGPT. The outcomes were concerning. 83% of those who use AI to draft their work couldn't recall a single sentence, even though they had just written the paper and submitted it minutes before. 83% of those who used the AI to draft their work couldn't recall a single sentence. The AI-induced amnesia exemplifies more than just a side effect of artificial intelligence. ChatGPT and similar AI-powered tools are now used daily and widely for everything from emails to essays. Yet study indicates when you're sacrificing our cognitive capacity and creativity for short-term conveniences. They did a study with 54 participants, and what's crazy about this, I was reading it more and more, and it says when researchers monitored brain activity, they discovered that the AI users showed significantly decreased neural engagement. The brain-only writers generated nearly double the amount of connections in the alpha frequency band associated with focused attention and creativity compared to ChatGPT. This is why it's coming in. They said 83% of the people that used ChatGPT couldn't recall a single sentence of what they submitted. Couldn't recall a single sentence. Didn't remember anything they submitted.
Because they didn't write any of it.
They didn't write it. And so what's happening now is, look at this here, neural connections. Writing with ChatGPT reduced brain activity significantly. The alpha waves focusing on creativity. Basically, this is the yellow, the brain only straight up writing. Put this up, Rich. I want everybody to see this.
Camera four.
79 neural connections, alpha waves, when they were using brain only. ChatGPT, 42. Almost half the amount of connections they were using. Theta waves, memory and thinking, 62 and 29. Less than half. And what's going on here, it says, is crazy. And this hit me like a ton of bricks last night. It says, like GPS systems that erode our navigation abilities, AI writing tools gives way to our brain's natural tendency to conserve energy by stepping back when an external system handles cognitive work. How many times now have you clicked navigation, even though you probably know where you're going?
God, this happened to me the other day.
No, I've noticed, after I read this, I thought about it. I went, I know how to get just about anywhere in Florida. But then I'll click on navigation. Why? Because it's convenient. Because I don't think about it. I flip it on, even though I know where I'm going. And now a lot of people don't even know, especially younger generations, they don't even know how to travel without having navigation on. They can't even read a map. And it goes into detail in this article how the more convenience you have, the less your brain works. And it actually starts creating an amnesia factor where you can't actually remember anything you did or anything you wrote or anywhere you went. Because your brain completely disconnects and you let the AI or navigation take over.
Well, you know, the other day I was going over to Tampa.
Yeah.
And my interface with my Bluetooth quit working.
Yeah.
And so I was going right by Stingray Chevrolet in Plant City, the number one Chevrolet choice in America, by the way.
Yeah, they're great.
And they said, well, hang on a second. We'll reprogram your navigation and just give you another vehicle.
Yeah.
So they gave me a 2025 Silverado gas truck. Okay. I thought, okay, it was a nice car, nice vehicle, nice truck. And navigation wouldn't turn on. Okay. Well, I had to go to the mall in Tampa, the International Mall, which I've been there.
We've been there dozens of times.
Crap, I couldn't find it.
Yeah. Told you.
And I'm like, because I turned the wrong road because I followed the interstate sign and didn't know where any more signs. I'm like, well, where's the mall?
Yeah.
I had to stop and ask directions. I thought, this is ridiculous. I've done this. I said, my brain's gone to mush. This is horrible.
Yeah.
And because I had never gone there without navigation. And I thought myself.
Except probably 30 years ago, 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah. No, it was ludicrous. But I found it. But I thought myself, that's not good. I don't like this. This is horrible.
No, that's why that hit me like a ton of bricks yesterday when I was reading it. And it said that. It said essentially now the GPS systems have eroded our navigational abilities. That most people don't know how to go anywhere now without navigation. And
remember the maps we used to have to use on radio tours?
My favorite is you're going somewhere and you print off the map quests.
Oh, yeah.
Map quests. You got like 5 pages. Turn left here, 0.2 miles,
and
turn right.
And you better not miss your turn.
Oh, you better not miss one. You got to start all the way back over the top of the sheet.
Try to find your way back.
And this is what is going in here. And it's talking about this now with the AI models, that this cognitive work consumes neural energy and the brain naturally seeks to conserve those resources. So using things like AI and ChatGPT, the brain actually shuts down that part of the brain.
And it atrophies.
And it atrophies.
Well, let me say one of the things. So the brain is a glucose hog.
Oh, yeah.
It uses more glucose than any other part of the body. The brain is a really highly developed electrochemical computer machine.
That's why for a workout and you're cooked and your glycogen's to the floor, your brain doesn't work.
Well, the same thing is true with a blood sugar.
Yeah.
If you have hypoglycemia, your sugar's going up and down, and your sugar drops down too low, you don't get enough glucose to the brain. You get really irritable and mean.
And you don't think as well.
And you can't think as clearly. You know, and so you got to get yourself, you got to boot back up again. And, you know, that's why you have a protein shake with the Fit Food Protein from Health Masters. And so then you sit there and you sit there and just relax and let the glucose levels come back up in your brain. This is why when you drink a bunch of sugar, it causes it to spike up high and then falls back down. That's why you have to eat a stabilized diet and not junk all the time. But the reality is the brain requires large amounts of glucose. So I can see why it does. What happens is you put your brain on idle.
Yeah.
And then instead of burning, 100 calories per hour, whatever it is, you end up burning 10 calories per hour.
Yeah. You put it in neutral.
You put it in neutral.
Just idle. Yeah.
Yeah. You're basically just chilling. You're coasting. And the brain goes, oh, that's okay. I'll chill out for a minute. So the brain wants to do this.
Yeah.
The brain wants to relax and just chill out.
Yeah. Save the glucose.
To save the glucose. But you can't let it do that. You've got to push it and push it and push it. That's one of the reasons my memory is still so good, because I read all the time and I write all the time. And the biggest thing, too, when they talk about people writing, having their papers written by AI, they don't even know how to write.
No. No.
No, it's horrible.
The younger generation, I've talked to younger kids in their early 20s now that are in college and stuff, and nobody writes papers anymore.
No.
I mean, nobody writes papers anymore. There's all this AI ChatGPT platform. They just write your stuff for you. There's this stuff now I saw somebody showed me, and I was shocked. You literally, they're taking an online exam. They pull their phone out. They take a photo of the question on the online exam in an app, and it immediately does an AI search on Google, and the answer comes up in, I don't know, 2-3 seconds. 2-3 seconds. Done. Answer. Boom. And I'm like, golly, everybody's going to have mashed potato brain.
Well, if it's an open book test, it's not a big deal. But the reality is that a lot of people never learn anything now. They're going out of college, and all they've done is basically cheat their way through.
Open book test, you at least have to search for the answer. You got to, oh, this is chapter 7. This is in this part of it. You got to go back and look it up. When you're sitting there just taking a photo, and AI goes, this is the answer, put it in, it's B. The next one, you do same thing. Dude, you're putting zero effort in. And that's why they said 87% of the people couldn't remember a single sentence that they submitted just minutes earlier.
You know, it's funny. Yesterday,
that's wild.
Yesterday in church, I'm not picking on anybody, but we had a guest pastor.
Yeah.
And I mean, he wasn't really, he wasn't our pastor. Our pastor's phenomenal. And after I walked out of church, I thought to myself, I don't even remember the sermon.
Yeah, that happens sometimes.
That's bad.
Yeah.
And that either tells me that I need to pay more attention or we need to get a different speaker. You know, and one of the things that if you learn that we do all the time is I always ask you guys questions. Won't it be nice this? Remember, three things you got to remember. What am I doing? What's it doing to me? And is that okay? I'm always asking questions on the show. And the thing about it is that you ask yourself a question enough and you talk enough questions to people, you create a dialogue like we do on this show. Have you ever noticed I'm always doing that with you guys and looking at you and asking you questions? Like I just said a second ago, now I'm being repetitive, but I did that on purpose because I want you to realize that that's what we do to create a dialogue. Well, then suddenly it's not just me going sentence, and you're going to sleep over here. It's we're talking and we're having, and that's why it's so good when Austin and I are interacting with each other, because you feel as though you're in a third-party conversation with us. And I know a lot of you are saying, well, say it this way, Ted, say it that way, Austin, and I'll get the emails. You should have said it this way. I'm like, yeah, you're right, I should have. Three-way conversation, because that creates enough energy with your brain that you remember it, because we're having a dialogue instead of a monologue. That pastor yesterday, I didn't remember him asking one question.
No.
I'm about to take a nap. I'm like, this is horrible.
Can you guys guess who's now cutting high fructose corn syrup out? There's your question.
Pepsi, baby.
Pepsi talking about completely dumping high fructose corn syrup across the line.
You know what this is going to do, too, with the corn crops?
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Because there's a huge subsidy for that.
Well, they need to cut all that fructose out for corn crops. They need to cut out all the fructose or all the corn crops out for ethanol subsidies.
Yeah.
All that garbage needs to stop. I wish Doge had gotten to that.
Yeah.
Because there are people that I know, they make millions of dollars a year on ethanol subsidies.
Yeah.
Because they're raising corn for fuel. That's just stupid. And plus, all it does is screw up motors. It's horrible.
It's also saying, listen to this. This is pretty cool. PepsiCo's relaunching its Lay's and Tostitos brand, later this year with no artificial colors or flavors. And they're actually looking to expand the use of avocado and olive oil and dump all canola and soybean oil.
Wow.
This is huge, by the way. This has been in the products for decades. This is directly linked to Robert F. Kennedy. It says promoting removing seed oils from food.
But see what he's doing, don't you? He didn't win everything up front.
Right.
But he's chicken. He knew he had 4 years.
Yep.
Chip away, chip away, chip away. That's why I would have rather had him as president, just between me and you guys. Well, I guess it wasn't between me and you guys. Me and probably 2 million people watch this show.
A lot.
But I would rather have had him, who basically, you know, would have been doing this with all of it. Because that's a politics. I have to admit, a lot of times they've got to do little chips, little chips, little chips. Because this, you know, it's like you can't whip a U-turn with the Queen Mary.
Yeah.
You can't spin a big ocean liner around on its axis. It doesn't work that way. It takes miles to turn it around. This ship that we have that we call the United States of America, it's like a giant ocean liner. You know, with this triple true screw prop, you can't turn it very easily. And so you have to make sure if you're going to turn it, you start way in advance to turn it. And that's what Kennedy's doing. And I'm really, really pleased with what he's doing so far.
No, I am too. I mean, baby, that's crazy. If you get
PepsiCo, you have PepsiCo.
Yeah, no, they're right.
And remember, they're owned by BlackRock, State Street, yeah, and Vanguard.
Well, see, what's happening is now, and this is because of you guys. This is because of y'all. It's because of us. Consumer demand is actually making changes now. People aren't buying these products. That's what's happening. Mm. There's multiple brands on the market now that use avocado oil for potato chips. I've eaten them multiple times. They taste great. They're clean. They're organic. They're non-GMO. They use avocado oil, and they taste great. What's happened is, I guarantee you, Lay's and Tostitos, their sales are dropping. And so they're looking at it going, crap, guys. We either have to change our structure and change our marketing and get cleaner, or else we are going to start hemorrhaging sales.
Well, you got to remember, canola oil is rapeseed oil.
Yeah.
And basically, they have to detoxify the plant in order to make it palatable, because they make varnishes and lacquers out of it. It's basically like eating WD-40
varnish.
Which
one thinks worse? I mean, they're both canola or soybean oil. I mean,
that's horrible.
That's like Satan 1 and Satan 2.
I think soy's worse because of what
worse?
It does to the hormone system.
Okay.
They both make the blood gel up.
Yeah.
But soy turns little boys into little girls. Read the article I wrote
about
that.
Both super inflammatory.
I'm going to say it one more time. Soy turns little boys into little girls. So that's, I would have to pick soy. But they're unbelievable. They're bad. Corn oil, safflower oil, all these seed oils are bad.
The biggest thing is, too, is you see a lot of times, especially canola oil and soybean oil, they're together.
Oh, yeah.
They have both of them in the items. It's like, gosh, you're just getting double whammy with it.
Remember I did that with it. We had the election. I forgot which one it was. I think it was in 2020. And I said, you got door number one, door number two, door number three. Satan one, Satan two, Satan three. Pick which Satan you want. And, you know, you think, well, can it be that bad? It's that bad in politics. It really is.
I have heard that. Mm-hmm. The Washington, D.C. is a straight cesspool.
I was there.
Yeah.
I was there years ago. I was out there with Coach Dobelmeyer.
Yep, I remember that.
Good friend. And I looked at him. We're walking through the halls of Congress. And I looked at him. I said, have you seen anybody here who's not gay? He looked at me and goes, they all seem gay. I said, I know. It's weird. I mean, all the pages, everybody effeminate. Now, I'm not saying they were literally homosexual. I didn't say that, but they're all just really effeminate. And I thought to myself, this is crazy. How in the world can this be the leadership of our country? But, you know, and then you find out like Barney Frank was running a gay call girl cowboy service out of his house.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And you think to yourself, how in the world can this be like this? How have we degenerated like this? What we talk about on the show is probably the Frankfurt School because of cultural Marxism, because of what they've done to us. It's sad. What it really is. It really is sad, Austin.
No, it really is. There's another article. I'm going to dig into it a little bit more. I pulled up. It's an older research study, but it's getting more traction now. And it talks about a 5-week elimination diet study that was published in The Lancet with 100 children with ADHD found that a restricted diet significantly reduced ADHD symptoms in 78%.
I talked about this 35 years
this
ago.
This article is actually, where's it from? From February 2011. And it goes into detail. I'm going to talk about it more tomorrow. And it was only 5 weeks. And they did a modified elimination diet. And pretty much what they did was they cut all high fructose corn syrup, high sugar, high carbohydrate foods out of these kids' diets.
Dies.
5 weeks. 5 weeks.
78%.
78% increase. As far as what it came down as far as symptoms of ADHD. 78%.
You know, so funny. I could talk about ADD and changing diets at a seminar back in the 90s. I could do that.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy, if I brought up vaccines on a radio TV show, all hell broke loose. I mean, bad. When I connected it to autism, and now all of a sudden, guess what? Everybody's talking about what I talked about way back when. Because back then, the vaccine industrial complex was just starting to make its inroads.
Oh, yeah.
But now we've got all these mRNA vaccines that are still being used on children 6 months and older. Unbelievable what they've done to us with the vaccines. Maybe that's why they figured they don't need the high fructose corn syrup anymore. They're going to kill us with the mRNA vaccines.
Hey, at least we're getting some stuff out of the food, though.
Yeah, at least we're doing that.
And so thank you guys for doing this with us. Because quite frankly, the changes that are being made with this and the changes that are being made with the food, people are voting with their dollar. I've told you guys that for years. That's one of the biggest things you can do. If you don't agree with something, you don't like something, you don't like the quality of something, don't buy it. You're not forced to buy anything.
It's like going to Starbucks and getting their coffee.
Right.
It's full of artificial dyes and chemicals.
600-800 calories.
Well, you know, you're paying $8-$10 for one cup of coffee.
Yeah.
You get 24 servings of purple sticks for like $50. It's like $2 a pop.
Yeah.
And then basically have energy that's going to come from a green tea extract, and not going to cause your cortisol to go up.
Exactly.
And people buy these things by the cases. We're the only people that sell them.
I know.
We make them.
Appreciate, my friends. Thank you for anything. Thank you for everything. If you guys need anything, give us a call. Email us, Team Health Masters.
And always keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life, because He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And without Jesus, nothing sticks together, because He holds all things together. Always remember, it's all about Jesus all the time, because when you check out of this world, and you leave this hotel, you get to meet Him. That'd be kind of fun.
Real nice hotel there.
Oh, yeah. I love you guys.
See
I'll talk to you tomorrow.